Well, hello, and welcome to the ADA Shop Talk podcast. I'm your host, Paul Klein. And if you are an ADA coordinator, government official, architect, or accessibility specialist trying to understand the ADA better, then you are in the right place. And yes, the ADA Shop Talk podcast is brought to you by Blue Dag. Check out Blue Dag's Transition Plan Builder and Inspection Suite over at bluedag.com. Love to have you connect with the team for a demo or just check it out. It's a cool product and we love it. And it's solving lots of problems for lots of agencies and people out there. So definitely check out bluedag.com. So yeah, so today I don't have a heavy duty technical topic, if you will. So, you know, it's more on a personal note, I guess. I titled it A Day in the Life of an ADA Consultant. Mainly because I've been recording a lot of guests lately and kind of doing some deep dives in there. But I'm recording this on a Tuesday. Today is the 26th. So probably by the time you listen to this, I'll already be in an airplane flying to Detroit. So I thought I'd just share a few things about, you know, what an ADA consultant does. Many of you may have seen the YouTube video I put out where I was kind of just riffing and goofing around a little bit and joking about Code Rangers and stuff. Just trying to give an inside look. I just think there's so many people that don't understand the whole ADA consulting side. And then I know many of you are like ADA coordinators and work for government entities, and you can't always talk freely. So having been a former government employee, I understand that. So I have that beautiful sweet spot where I get to do both. So I can talk freely and share things that maybe other people can't and so forth. Probably won't be doing a lot of deposition work because I share a lot. So, which is fine. I hate, I shouldn't say I hate it. It's just not my favorite work to do, you know, even though they charge you, you know, you can charge $350, $450 an hour. I just think charging by the hour is ridiculous. I just rather work with a client and solve their problems. But yeah, this week's been kind of interesting. So it started off great. Yesterday, I had a great interview with Marsha Maz. But actually, let me back up a little bit. Many of you know, obviously, that I work with Blue Dag. I'm one of the co-founders. We founded Blue Dag in 2016 with Mark Wood and Damon Brown, Josh Hovinga, and Chris James are all the official owners or founders, I should say. But yeah, so I work with Blue Dag quite a bit. You know, did a lot early on in 2016 for a few years, and then drifted out, and then now drifted back in. So it's been an interesting ride. But I also have a consulting firm with Mark Wood, my business partner, in a company called CalCasp. And so in both of those companies, I get to do a lot of things related to consulting and working with clients and government entities and recording this podcast, doing training. And so on a day-to-day basis, like many of you, we're bouncing emails, taking phone calls, but I have to switch hats constantly because I might get a call 1 minute from somebody with a Blue Dag question or issue, and then someone else might call and it'll be it'll be one of my CalCasp clients, or it might be somebody who takes a training through CalCasp. So a lot of people take our training and they might have a question or something. So it's a lot of hats, but it's fun. It makes the week a variety. I get to work from home before COVID even existed or even was thought of. Mark and I launched CalCasp. I went out on my own after 18 years of working with local government. I was tired of it and started consulting, and everything was done at home. I started in the kitchen table just with a laptop and just working from there. Nothing real official, no office or anything, and because I was doing survey work, I was always driving to my clients, so I didn't, I just worked from the house. And that kind of evolved as the internet did and technology and everything, to where we could do Zoom calls and everything. And then when COVID hit, it really didn't even have it didn't really change anything for me. I mean, I know I'm a little biased or blessed, I should say, because it really, you know, I was already working from home. And so I was able to generate income and continue to work. A lot of the work during that time obviously dried up in a lot of cases, but there were other things in place that we were able to sustain through that time. We were lucky, you know, a lot of people didn't have that. And so, but at any rate, what I'm getting at is it's been, you know, since 2009 working from home and just get up each morning and, you know, check email and put out fires and solve problems for people. So, you know, every day there's tons of emails. Let's see, right now I have 1, 2, 3, 4, I have 5 tabs of 5 different emails that I monitor every day. Just, you know, always looking at and working with people and so forth. But yeah, so this week, April 20, let's see, what was that? Oops, I'm already in April. Let me go back. We are in March. March, today's March 26th. So yesterday, March 25th started out, you know, I had my weekly review and I work in the ADA Shop Talk community, you know, answering questions, posting stuff. And then the exciting thing yesterday was I got to interview Marsha Maz. And so for many of you who know who she is, Marsha Maz works with the United Spinal Association and their Access Compliance Division, but she was formerly with the U.S. Access Board since 1989. So she was there. She helped write the 91 guidelines. She helped write the 2010 guidelines or 2004 guidelines and through all that process. So the opportunity to pick her brain was fun. That's going to be a really neat interview. You should check out. But yeah, that was awesome. And also got done some interviews recently with Chris Sparrow, who's an advocacy director down in the Greensboro, down near the city of Greer in South Carolina. And so he had some great solutions and things that we talked about with local businesses and how they've been able to increase access for people with disabilities from an advocacy and how to partner with local governments and how that's successful with working with city and county's transition plans and so forth. So that's a really interesting one that I got to do. And then my friend Stephen Twist, who came on, and you'll get to know him. He climbed Mount Whitney, and he's had a pretty challenging mobility issues over his life, and but he was able to climb Mount Whitney, even though he used crutches and so forth. It was actually documented by Kodak, I think. And anyway, that interview will be coming out, so check that out. Steve's a neat guy. And yeah, I got some cool interviews coming up with Christy Avalos from Accessology, who's probably one of the premier PSA, you know, program services and activities consultants out there. My daughter actually works for her, and I've done some consulting with her over the years, and she's just a great resource. Also, Doug Anderson with LCM Architects out of Chicago is coming on, and Jerry Davison with the ADA Pacific Center. So anyway, that's what I do a lot of during the week, and it's just, you know, to bring you good content. And what one of the things I'd love to ask you, and I'm toying with whether you prefer solo shows or if you prefer the interview shows. I know we only have had 2 interview shows thus far, but you know, one of these days, if you shoot me an email or message me in the community, I'd love to hear which you prefer, you know, because I like the interview shows because it's fun to have more dialogue and maybe just hearing me blab, you know, so my gut tells me that. But sometimes I hear people like to hear, you know, the perspective or just, you know, what's going on. So this week's kind of more of that flavor, but reach out to me at pklein@bluedag.com or message me in the community. I'd love to hear from you. But yeah, so that's kind of that was yesterday and the last week, kind of doing some interviews in the ADA Shop Talk community. And then I've had some technical issues. You know, I dive in every day. There's usually something. And this week I got hit with a really weird elevator question, and had to do with the elevator panel, you know, inside an elevator. So a brand new elevator being put in, and you know, the buttons that say, you know, closed door, and it has the little symbol and it says closed door or open door. It's got the little arrows, and then there's a phone and an alarm. There's those panels right there, and those have to be designated with a symbol and Braille to right next to the button. And there was this big debate with a code official and a contractor and a national elevator manufacturer on a big project. And so I got engaged as a consultant to help solve that problem. And so it was a tricky one that I hadn't really dealt with before. And that's what makes this profession so neat, is you're always learning something. I've been doing this for a long time, and you know, you think, oh, well, I know that. And so I called Mark Wood, my business partner, and got his take off on it. And then, and reached out to Jeff Yank with, Eventarian Associates. Thank you, Jeff, for getting back to me on that, if you're listening, and, got his take. And, you know, Jim Terry and Eventarian are great, national recognized, consulting firm in the ADA space. And then also Eric McSwain, who's a consultant out in California that I've known for many years. And he, great guy, super, super smart, a company called Access Compliance Consultants out in San Luis Obispo, I think. And, so yeah, whenever you get those tricky kind of weird things you haven't really dealt with before, you gotta call in those favors, if you will. And so, call in to different people, you know, depending on the topic. You know, I reach out to different peers in the space as a consultant and get their take on it. And then based on those different interpretations or feedback, you know, sometimes, you know, you hear things that, oh, I didn't think about that, or they look at it from a different way. And so you can kind of figure out a consistent consensus, if you will, especially with people like myself and Mark and Jeff and Eric, you know, that are doing it on a daily basis. You can get a comfort level to make a call, basically, especially in the more difficult ones. So that elevator one was a tricky one. I've got a meeting this Thursday with the players, if you will, and hopefully get that resolved so they can get their project going. I think it's being held up for some overly ambitious comments, let's just say. but anyway, we're still working through that. But those are the kinds of things that come up. I had another email come in from a Title II entity, ADA coordinator on the Blue Dag side. We get those all the time. And one gentleman emailed me like a 4-page dissertation, which is like, a full day consulting question in one email. And so, sometimes I have to put those on the back burner till I can get to them, you know, especially when it's just kind of free for what we do. But the other one was a truncated domes on a zero curb leading into the accessible parking. And where do the domes go? Do they go on the asphalt in the parking stalls themselves? Do they go on the concrete? But then it reduces the sidewalk to less than 36 inches. So now you got to run those things over if you're in a chair. It's problematic. And this was out in California, so it has more truncated dome confusion, if you will. And there was a challenge there, but I was able to get an answer to them. Their ADA coordinator make some recommendations, sent me some pictures, and was able to help with that. That's something we did through my Blue Dag role as an accessibility specialist for them, and you know, helping entities solve those problems. Bunch of demos this week and sign-ons with different jurisdictions, and we're working with a lot of jurisdictions through Blue Dag to help with their transition plans and getting them. We have what's called a Kickstart program, so doing training for that, or just helping them prioritize or get connected with the right, you know, consultants that can do evaluations. So one of the things we do at Blue Dag is we help with the transition plan process, but we don't do the work itself. You know, we don't come in and do a PSA, program service and activities review. You need to either do that yourself or hire a competent consultant to do it. We don't do building evaluations, even though Victor and I, who work at Blue Dag, could certainly do that. We just, Blue Dag as a company, will advise and train and help you and your staff or your consultants come up to speed using the Blue Dag platform, but we don't do surveys in that role. It's a distinction we make, but we help foster that relationship with our network of consultants and connect them with the Title II entities. So a bunch of those are on the calendar. Tomorrow is Wednesday. You'll probably listen to this on Wednesday or already have. And I'm flying up to Detroit for a survey for a client and then back in one day. So that's a nice thing about living in Nashville compared to when I was in California, and it would be a half day flight over and a half day, probably stay the night and fly back. Now that I'm based out of Nashville, because I have quite a few clients that are within, you know, an hour to 2 hour flight from Nashville. Whereas when I lived in California, it was a, you know, all the way across the flyover states, if you will, you know, to get to Miami, Detroit, New York, DC, those kinds of places. And so I don't fly every week, but I do. It gets busy, especially in the fall and leading into the end of the year, because a lot of the projects are wrapping up. They're trying to get year end closeouts. But I haven't flown since, I think, February, beginning of February, maybe. So that's been nice. Been able to get back in the gym. And I have on my calendar every morning at 5 a.m., I have swim gym. And so, but I think I make about 3 days a week of those. Tomorrow, I won't. Tomorrow's my normal gym day, but I'll have to miss that because I've got to be on the airplane at 5:45. So normally I'd be in the pool at that time. Love swimming. Keeps me going, and that's something I try to do in my routine. And of course, you know, us that are getting older in their 50s, like myself, speak for myself, trying to eat right and not drink too much. So, yeah, I'm sure some of you can identify with that. And if you don't do either, if you don't work out or drink, that's good too. So I'm not knocking anybody there, but tomorrow, no workout, flying up to Detroit for a quick survey. It'll just take a go bag. I've got my smart 2 foot smart level Stabila, with my little tool pouch. It's clips on my belt. I'll wear my jeans, my nice, comfortable sneakers. Dry fit t-shirt, just cause I like those. They're comfortable, little pullover, in case it's cold. In my go bag, I have one of those little fluffy jackets that can poof out like a feather down. It's super warm, but it can compact. Got a beanie in there in case it's cold. And then I've got my door pressure gauge. I got a cattle counter, or a tally counter, if you will, for counting parking stalls. Tape measure, Fat Max, 16-foot Stanley Fat Max. All that will go with me. I've got it down when I get into – I got TSA pre and clear, so I can usually get through there without them getting excited about the tools. But I usually pull my door pressure gauge out and put that in the tape with the magnet on it, because that usually sets off the alarms. So I pull that out, put it in one of those little white cups, and that'll get me through. So I'll get in and out of security pretty quick, about 15 minutes, and get to my gate. I usually fly Delta, and I got one of those, what are those called? The Sky Lounge Pass deals. They're like, I don't know. I got it gifted to me, so I didn't have to pay for it this year, from a family member, which was very nice. And anywhere I go, like Detroit has a great lounge, free. I mean, they have free drinks, free food. You just go in there, show them your pass, and all that's, you know, don't have to go to the wait in line. And especially if you got to go to the bathroom, you know, they got real clean bathrooms and stuff. So the Delta Sky Lounges are the best. And so I'll be taking advantage of that in the morning in Nashville, and then one up in Detroit, and then head back. So I think I fly out at like 6:30 or 6:15, land about 8:30, 9 in Detroit. There's an hour time difference, about an hour drive, site review, hour back to the airport, and I got a 4 o'clock flight back home. I'll be back at the house by, you know, 6 o'clock tomorrow. So full day, of course, but it is the day in the life of the ADA consultant. So that's tomorrow, Wednesday 27th, or if you're listening to this afterwards, that was what I was doing that day. And then Thursday this week, I've got more demos on the mobile app. We've got some coordination calls with the team at Blue Dag. What else is on here? Oh, I might have a... Yeah, I got... that's right. We're doing... In April, we're getting ready. We're doing a big series of training for the elections, for accessibility for the elections. It's an election year, so we're training a series of the county elections officials in California. So I'll be in Northern California around the first week of April or second week of April, and then Central California doing a series of trainings, and then in Southern California. So that's going to be a busy month that month. And so we have a kickoff call for that this Thursday. And then it's kind of that on Thursday. And then what else do we have? Got a launch meeting, I think, with one of our clients. And then Friday night, personal note, I like to play music. I'm going, I play in a band here in Nashville, and we're playing Friday night. So in the evening, after work, I'll be a rock star. So for those of you who've seen the webinars, you'll see my guitars in the background and the amp. So I'll be packing that up and putting on a show this Friday, the 29th. So that'll be fun. But yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell. You know, day in the life of a ADA consultant. That's this week. And, you know, I did the 18 years of going to the cubicle at City Hall and the County Administrative Building. So working with IT and customer service and issuing permits and committee meetings and more meetings to have meetings to get an approval for an approval of a meeting. And that's the bureaucracy of local government. I don't miss that. But I did do that for over 18 years. So I totally understand where many of you are, and it's great because those are great secure jobs. And actually my retirement just kicked in last month, from my 18 years of that. So that was kind of a nice surprise. I hit the big 55. So I was able to take advantage of that, and life's pretty good. I'm blessed. And, you know, I hate to, if my optimism and happiness irks you a little bit, my apologies, but I really do want to be a positive voice and, you know, provide hope and encouragement. And with all these rough challenges with the ADA and increased access, and I just think a positive approach, it's just my style and everything, but I'd love to hear from you in terms of the show and, you know, whether you prefer solo shows like this, or if you prefer the interviews or any topics you want me to cover. I'm really trying to not just focus on California. We have a lot of California folks, but I know many of you who are listening are outside of California, and you have your other issues and your own challenges. And so guests, topics, anything like that, that serves, you know, those areas or those interests, you know, that's why, you know, Doug and Christy, who are coming on the show, Marsha, are all non-California folks. So not knocking California, but you know, I started off with a non-California person in Kaylin Dunlap, which was great. And then we had Sumo, which is awesome too. And so I've got some other, I have plenty of contacts in California, but I want to increase more outside of California topics and so forth on the show. However, if it's good, it's good. And if a lot of people want the same thing, I'll do it. So just reach out to me, let me know what you think. And, you know, I'd love to hear from you and get your thoughts. So, that's it. That's just kind of my riff for this Tuesday, March 26, 2024. I hope, you're having a good week, and this, you know, was a little interesting to you, maybe not heavy duty technical stuff, but, definitely ADA related, and it's a beautiful thing about this show. We get to talk about a lot of different things. So, so that's it. Yeah, join me over at the ADA Shop Talk community. If you haven't been in there, it's a great spot to post and get your questions answered. And you can join that for free over at adashoptalk.com, or email me at pkline@bluedag.com. And next month, we don't have the registration link quite up yet, but next month's free webinar is going to be Disability Etiquette and Best Practices for Customer Service Representatives. I've done this in the past. It's a great session on just kind of how to interact, how to, you know, how people at the front counter can interact with people with disabilities and not make those assumptions or treat them differently. And a lot of times we clam up and we start treating people differently. It's like, no, just treat people like they're just people. So there's some best practice with that. So it's a great session for any of your frontline staff, customer service representatives at the counter. That's going to be April 24th via Zoom inside the ADA Shop Talk community, myself and Victor. It'll be 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific time, or 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock Central time. So I'd love to see you there. And if you haven't already subscribed to the ADA Shop Talk podcast, please do so on your favorite podcast player such as iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio. And hey, go out there and rock your ADA efforts. And remember, let's all work together to create a world that everyone has an opportunity to thrive. Take care until next week. Safe travels. And we will see you on the next episode. Have a great day. Bye-bye.